we're queers and stuff, and we're Allison,
and we're Shan,
and this is Vintage Lesbians.
Hello and welcome to Vintage Lesbians, a personal journey of friendship and queer history where we try to set the record a little less straight. My name is Allison, and I'm one of your co-hosts.
And I'm your other co-host, Shan.
Shan, how you doing right now?
Well, I'm pretty good.
I'm freaking out.
I'm also freaking out a little, because we just did a little interview with Teresa Thorne.
Teresa Thorne?
Of Maximum Fun's One Bad Mother
from
fame.
From podcasts. And books.
We talked to her. We liked her book, It Feels Good to Be Yourself, a book about gender identity, so dang much that we broke our own rule of never having a cis straight person on this podcast. But instead, we have one talking for most of it. So, this is a little special episode this week about a really wonderful book that I think you should all go out and buy and request at your library and read to all the children.
We will link to how to get to this book, how to find out more about Teresa in our show notes and at our Patreon at patreon.com/vintagelespod.
That's Vintage LESPOD. If you have a minute right now, if you're not driving or doing something else that would make this dangerous, why don't you go ahead and leave a little quick 5-star rate and review on the old iTunes there. Maybe we'll give you a shout out. It's a great way to support us if you can't or don't want to be a patron.
Shan, shall we listen to us talk to Teresa Thorne?
Let's do that right now.
All right.
See you.
On the other side.
We have here with us today a very special, special guest, a podcaster, an author, an all-around great human, Teresa Thorne. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it. We know you have a very busy time, and the times that we have available are not the times that you have available. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for accommodating me.
Of course. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about your book, It Feels Good to Be Yourself, here in the month of Pride. First of all, we love it.
We love it so much. It is such a beautiful book, both in terms of the writing and the illustrations contained within the art. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
I definitely started crying about on page one. Because I was just thinking to myself, gosh, I wonder where I'd be if I'd had this book as a child. What made you decide to write a book?
Yeah, I mean, just so you guys know, I also cry when I'm looking at the book. I think I'm crying maybe for slightly different reasons, but in part, it's just that I am so grateful that I've had the opportunity to make this book. And basically, when I had the idea for the book, I had this vague idea for the feeling that the illustrations would give. But obviously, I am not an illustrator, and I could never in my wildest dreams have imagined being paired with such an amazing illustrator. And Noah Grenier just made this book so much better. Basically, every time they submitted new artwork, I just would cry every time, because I couldn't believe how much their artwork brought to the text and how well it matched the feeling that I wanted the book to give, but at the same time even gave us more than I could have imagined. So I wrote the book because I've spent the last couple of years just learning about and thinking about gender way more than I ever would have thought that I would have as a cisgender straight woman. But I feel like my life has gotten so much better with the learning that I've had, the opportunity to learn through, I have a transgender daughter who's almost 8, but also not just through her, but I mean, she was what sparked this interest, but also just through people I've met and things that I've read, and just being out in the world and thinking about gender in a way that I never used to. I just came to understand gender as a thing about being human that I think is pretty awesome, that is often overlooked or ignored, unless you happen to not be cisgender. And then it's sort of like an issue or a problem. I felt like I wanted this book to be about all the ways that gender kind of contribute to who we are as people, and that gender diversity is another beautiful thing about being human.
I loved your coming out scene, and I loved that you even included the cis boy in this book coming out. I think that's really important
yeah.
for future generations to know, and even our generations to know. Also.
Yeah, because you're painting this picture of a world where cis is not the default, where you make no assumptions until you're informed, and I think that's really, really beautiful. And I totally agree with you on the art. It is so warm and so loving, and it just pulls me right in.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I definitely wanted this book to be for my trans daughter, but also for my cis son, who really did come out to us like that.
That's adorable!
Yeah. I really, like, appreciate all the books that, I mean, there's way more books now, even than there were 2 years ago, for kids about gender, which is awesome. But a lot of the books that were useful to our family did sort of, like, pinpoint one kid who was different out of all the, like, typical kids. And I didn't want that to be my trans daughter's experience of gender, and I didn't want that to be our family's experience. Like, we're all doing our own different thing that we're doing, and we can all explore and think about our own gender. I found so much more value in approaching it that way, even just in the conversations we were having at home. So yeah, that's why the book is like that.
That's really lovely.
It's so refreshing. Even in like all media today, if there's like a gay-centric movie, it's about
one way
person
of being gay.
Coming out and experiencing yeah. homophobia, and then eventually getting to kiss someone of the same gender or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or like their mom loves them again. It's yeah. as a person who I'm trans, and I'm not trans in a way that I see anywhere, it's nice to see representations of genderqueer people sort of like me. It's just nice, and I feel less alone, and thank you.
I'm so gratified to hear that. Thank you for telling me that.
I also work as a nanny, and I'm definitely going to buy this book for my current nanny kid who's about to move away, and the next one, and the one after that, and all of them forever.
That's so great. There are better ways to describe what this book could be in the world, but like when I first was trying to describe what I wanted it to be to my agent, I said, I mean, like, it should be like everybody poops, but for gender.
You have created the everybody poops for gender.
I was really struck by how straightforward it is and how, like, it doesn't beat around the bush at all. It just says, you're okay yeah. exactly the way you are. You're loved.
Clear, simple language about how good it feels to be yourself. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Were the characters in the book based on anyone you know in real life?
The first two characters that you meet are based on my oldest child and my middle child. My third child was a newborn when I was first writing this book, so he didn't really make it into the book. Very loosely based on my kids. They were what sparked those characters initially.
I love that.
You said you hadn't thought about gender much before Grace came out to you. Her name is Grace, right?
Yes.
Did you know any queer people or genderqueer people before Grace?
Yes. Part of why I think Grace's coming out and transition, like her initial like social transition, have been, I think, probably easier for Jesse and me than it is for some cis parents, is just that we both grew up in pretty progressive households in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we both went to arts high school. I went to college at Sarah Lawrence. I have a friend from college who's trans, who transitioned as an adult and that's also not the only trans person I know. yeah, I mean, I think as far as cisgender, heterosexual, married people having kids, assuming their kids are going to be cisgender, which, like, I would never have said at the time that I was assuming that, but obviously I was.
Yeah.
As far as that bubble, I think we, like, once we were like, oh, this is what's going on, it was pretty easy for us to be ready to run with that and cool with that. That's been not a big deal, and I'm just incredibly grateful, because I think for a lot of folks who don't have access or feel they don't have access to the LGBT community, or they just aren't familiar, you know, they just aren't familiar for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I think there's a long journey that is sometimes hard, and that's assuming they're accepting or want to be accepting. So I'm just grateful that that hasn't been something I've had to.
Going off of that, I really appreciate how you use very clear definitions to bring vocabulary to people who don't have it. But then you also expand that so much and talk about how there's not enough ways to define things that are listed in a book. I feel like that's going to make it a lot more classic as our language evolves as we go on. It doesn't exclude anyone. I don't really see that a lot.
Yeah, I feel like this is the first actually non-binary book I've seen, because even books about transgender people that I've read, a lot of them are very much aligning with the binary, and it frustrates me.
Yeah, I could really see that. I think I was really helped by just the way our culture is evolving and shifting around gender. Like, in the process of writing this book, I became more aware of non-binary people just by virtue of, I don't know, maybe my podcast, or, you know, friends or friends of friends, the Maximum Fun community. The illustrator for my book identifies as non-binary. And so I'm really happy that that could be a part of the book. I also think that just the way that kids think about their gender, the importance of defining non-binary is pretty significant, I think, especially because this is an area of education for our kids that is really kind of like lagging behind, because, like, for example, most schools, you know, begin by kindergarten dividing up boys and girls bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And even as young as preschool, teachers are dividing kids up by boys and girls. Or, you know, like, I was in my son's classroom the other day, and his teacher, who I love, was having them talk about math in a way that was like, so how many boys are here right now? How many girls are here right now?
Ugh.
And I knew what she was doing, but it, like, irked me, because I was like, wow, you're talking to a group of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I'm pretty sure statistically somebody here doesn't feel exactly like a boy or a girl, and that's probably not great for that person, you know? And we're reinforcing the idea that it's one or the other. So, and I just think as kids are thinking about gender and getting to know themselves and kind of exploring this part of themselves, I really see an importance there in, like, us as the adults around kids being open to ambiguity. My trans daughter, like, from the time she was very, very little, when we still thought she was a boy, she always wanted to play with like building blocks. She loved trucks. She loved construction sites. She loved building things, like sculpting, engineering. And at the time, my husband and I even said, like, wow, that's so crazy. Like, boys really do go for boy stuff. And it's just amusing now to look back on that. You know, I just think, especially with the process of my daughter coming out and us talking about gender a lot in our home, it's been really important to me to make it clear to my daughter that however she feels is okay. And, like, a lot of the books for kids about trans kids are really clear, like, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think, I mean, it's a spectrum, right? There aren't people who are so clearly defined one or the other. Like, most people are going to be somewhere on the spectrum, somewhere in between, you know?
I know that very well. I think one of the things that you said specifically was that the secret was to love and support your kids.
Yes.
I am so grateful that that's the button you landed on, because that truly is the secret, and it's the secret when they're adults, too.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. It's so odd, right, when you get around to, oh, I'm just supposed to love and support my kids.
Yeah.
Like, once you, like, if you actually need to go on a journey before coming around to that, which is probably exactly where you started to begin with as a parent, mm-hmm. it's just a weird thing to show up there and think, right, like, why did I ever think otherwise? I mean, it just, none of the other things make any sense at all.
Gonna agree with you there.
Yes.
But going back to what you were saying on gender and kids, I see so much, like, black and white, binary gendered thinking, being a nanny, and, like, because I mainly take care of, like, infants and toddlers.
Yeah.
And it's so jarring how quickly they go from, like, not thinking about it to saying, like, oh, pink is a girl color, blue is a boy color. You can't do that, you're a girl, you can't do that, you're a boy. And one of the things that I really love is that to a child, books are an authority. So you've put all this in a book. It's written down.
Yeah.
A teacher will read it to them. It's going to be part of the rules.
And it's being sold at places like Target. It's not just a niche bookstore. It's just, it's making us both of us very, very happy.
Oh, I'm so glad. No, it's making me so happy too. I mean, it's funny. There's such a long road to go, but it's true. Like, just having this be part of a young child's education, I assume it does something. I assume that it does. I have to believe that it does. And it's a really good feeling, because it's the stuff that we talk about as a family. And a lot of my kids' friends and stuff are coming from families that are talking about these things as well. But it is really different when the book exists to say so. Because, you know, we can talk about it all day long, but then, you know, they go to school and, you know, it's reinforced in the opposite direction. So if the school can have a book like this, then yeah, that's a good feeling.
I just, like, if any school library has a book like this, some kid is going to find it, and one of those kids is going to find something, some connection to something that makes them feel whole again, and that is really beautiful.
And even for kids who do end up identifying as cisgender, this book is still a very valuable resource.
You say then when their friend who they thought was a boy comes and says, oh, actually, I'm a girl. I use she, her pronouns. Please call me this other name. They'll think back, oh, I know what that means. Oh, okay. Because that was in a book that I read.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, too. Do you have any plans for further children's books?
No, not yet. But it's been a very fun process. It's totally possible. My life's insane, so I don't know why. I don't know. Why not? Why not also write another book? No, I would love to. And I'm already kind of, like, thinking about it. But this book was, like, this was that thing that I, like, had to write. Like, it was, like, already in my head. It formed itself without me even, like, forming it. Like, it was just there. It, like, needed to exist. So I think if I do another one, it would be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Well, I'm excited for whenever it happens.
Me too.
Oh, thanks, guys. I really appreciate all the love. It's been so wonderful to see how this book has resonated with so many people. And I'm just grateful, because obviously it means a lot to me, too. So it feels good to be raising my kids in this world where so many people want a book like this. That is a really good feeling.
Gives me a lot of hope to know that you know of other families, and you've created, like, a culture even within your kids' schools where they're talking about and thinking about this stuff, and how easy it seemed to just let everyone know and figure it out. And there is a growing culture of just acceptance and being okay with who people are. Like, emotional maturity is cool now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's so true. Season.
In a way that has never been. Like, it's chill to go to therapy now.
No, love it. My mom's a therapist. I'm all about it.
We're primarily a history podcast, a queer history podcast, and I've noticed throughout all of our research that there's patterns of people starting to say things and then getting shut down, and then more people find the things that have been shut down mm-hmm. and expand on them. And even though, like, there's still so much to go in terms of LGBT rights and everything like that, that a book like this can exist without immediately being shut down gives
without
me
being
so
like,
much hope.
Without being illegal?
Yeah.
Because this book 50 years ago would have been illegal.
I will say, I mean, I know I live in Los Angeles and we're in a little bit of a bubble, and there have definitely been people who have received our family with a little confusion or been a little unsure or awkward. But by far, this experience for me, having a child transition socially at a young age and putting this book out into the world, by far, I've just been impressed by how many people are not batting an eye at it. They're just like, of course, that's a sign of something good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I like that our culture is shifting in this direction. Like, as much as I hate rainbow mm-hmm. capitalism, I like that they feel like they have to do that to be relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're wrapping up. We're coming to the end of our time. Yeah. I was wondering if you had any advice for parents who might be going through a similar thing with their children coming out to them?
Sure. I mean, we already touched on the big one.
Yep, love and support your kids.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay to love and support your kids and not try to be in charge of what's happening with your child's gender. You don't have to try to fix their gender or try to help them understand their gender. You can just listen to them about how they feel.
Yes.
And then I think just the book actually has a resources section, which was my editor's idea and I think was really smart.
It's a fantastic idea.
Because, yeah, there's other children's books listed there that might be helpful. There's also a list of organizations that could be helpful. There are many, depending on where you live, there are support groups for families going through a transition, and they often have, like in LA, there's one where the family can go and the kids go to a playgroup while the parents meet, and the, you know, and it's just a really nice thing.
That's so great.
Yeah. And so I would say, like, reach out to those resources. There's a number of excellent books about raising gender expansive children. And I would just say, like, you know, what I say on my show, which is starting to sound like I'm joking, but I really mean it, which is, you're doing a good job. And parenting is hard. There's always something that we didn't expect and that we don't necessarily intuitively know how to do as a parent. And oftentimes there are many things like that. And that's okay. And that's part of it.
So where can people find you? Speaking of your podcast.
Oh, thanks. I have a website now. So teresathorn.com is my website. You can also find links there to my podcast, which I co-host with Biz Ellis, who is hilarious. Our show is called One Bad Mother, and it's a part of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. So you can find that anywhere you get podcasts. And we also have a book that is a very jokey parenting book that is called You Are Doing a Great Job, 100 Ways You're Winning at Parenting. And It Feels Good to Be Yourself, a book about gender identity, is available everywhere now. So I recommend going to your local indie bookstore or anywhere you like to buy books, or just requesting it at your library, because you can do that too.
Yes, that's very good. I'm going to...
Big ups to that one.
I'm going to call Seattle Public Library.
I'm going to call all the libraries.
Yeah.
To bring it to history for just a brief moment.
Okay.
We have, in written history, records of transgender and gender expansive people from over 4,000 years ago in Sumerian and Akkadian texts. There's also art depictions of transgender people from as far back as 9,000 years ago. So transgender people, third gender people, non-binary people, we've existed since people.
Yep. Right this, on.
It's not new.
As it turns out, we're all people.
Right? It's so yeah. funny how that works. Yeah. It's also so funny how people think that in a group of 8 billion, you can separate that into two distinct groups and there will be no overlap. And it's just, it's not mathematically sound.
It's also, I mean, it's also totally erasing the fact that intersex people exist and exactly. the fact that bodies are different and exactly. bodies are not always obviously one thing. I mean, bodies don't necessarily coincide with gender, but they're also not definitive in and of themselves as far as sex. So, yes, everybody is different.
Everybody is uniquely beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Teresa, for doing this.
This is an absolute joy.
Thank you both so much. It was so fun talking to you.
Thank you, as always, to Leslie for our logo design. This week, we have her plug, as always.
Leslie says, you can get through this. Whatever this is, you can get through this.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie. You are a treat and a delight.
And we love you very much. Support us on Patreon for $7 a month for access to A Brand New Gay, our Patreon exclusive podcast, at patreon.com/vintagelespod for even more of us.
Yes, your friends, Shannon Allison.
You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. All of that is at vintagelespod, or you can send us an email at vintagelespod@gmail.com, or you can follow us on our personal pages.
I'm at Allison Humphreys. You figure out how to spell that.
And I'm at justashan_. Another great way to support us, if you can't be a patron or you just don't want to, that's totally fine. We love you anyway. But if you want to leave a little quick rate and review on iTunes, that would really, really help us out. We're still a pretty new podcast, and ratings and reviews actually help us a lot in finding new listeners. And we kind of want to reach as many people as possible yeah. with this thing.
Personally, I would recommend 5 stars.
I would also recommend 5 stars, but it's up to you.
Yeah.
And in your review, I would recommend compliments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You could talk about our dynamic and our quick banter.
You could talk about how we always know how to talk and say words good.
If you leave a review, we might read it out loud on the podcast. Reviews like the one from RC Orchid saying, Allison and Shan are excellent podcasters with natural chemistry that comes from a long friendship. Oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
They share happiness and sadness of queer history with such interest and fascination. Highly recommended.
Thank you, RC Orchid. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Vintage Lesbians. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye. Bye.
And that was Vintage Lesbians. Love is love, bitches.